For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then Micah 3:8, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might. You see, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I pray today that there just be a new beginning for you and for me. The Holy Spirit would do a work.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 1 with a message titled Pentecost.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
I don't see that power of the Holy Spirit. I don't see that joy. I don't see that reaching out. Oh, they might be saved. They might be going to heaven, but you know, there's something that is missing here. And he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, when you believed? And they said, no, we've not even heard of that. And so he laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Now, you don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to prophesy. You don't have to do a lot of things. Those are gifts of the Spirit. But I would encourage you to seek those gifts. And there are times where I pray for somebody to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'll use my gift of tongues to pray for them and encourage them. But you see, it's not necessarily falling on the ground and doing all this weird stuff. That's not necessarily the Holy Spirit. That could very well be the flesh. But you see, it is a subsequent experience, as we mentioned. Remember in Acts chapter 10, where Cornelius, in verse 44, Cornelius was saved, and the Holy Spirit came upon him at the same time, him and his household. They were saved, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Then they went down and got baptized after that. D.L. Moody, his testimony of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in his own words and in his own life, he was preaching in Chicago when two ladies came to him at the end of a service and said, Mr. Moody, we are praying for you. He rather resented this. He thought he was a successful preacher. He said, what are you praying for? And they said, we are praying that you may have greater power. He really resented this. He thought he was a preacher with power and that all was well. But he couldn't forget their words. He began to realize that what they meant, to have an insight into this whole doctrine of the Holy Spirit and to pray this for himself. He went on for at least 6 months pleading that God would hear him in this matter. And walking down Wall Street in New York one afternoon, I was crying all the time that God would fill me with his Spirit. Moody was so burned out that nothing else really mattered. He said that it did not seem as if there was any unction resting on his ministry. The Holy Spirit came upon Moody in great force while he was walking down Wall Street. All of a sudden, nothing was important except to be alone with the Lord. Oh, what a day, Moody says. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to me. Paul, he said, had an experience of which he never spoke of for 14 years. I can only say God revealed himself to me, and I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. To stay his hand. It was just too overwhelming. Hermeneutics, big word, but it's the methodology of interpretation. There is what is called the rule of first mention. Once it's mentioned, it doesn't change. When leaven is mentioned, you see it in the Old Testament, you see it all through the New Testament, it speaks of sin or evil. Doesn't change. Other illustrations as well. And Jesus, when it talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't change. Jesus is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, he said, I baptize with water for repentance of sin, and he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we know that Jesus is the baptizer. No one can do all sorts of mechanics and, you know, beat on your chest and move your jaw to try to get you to do all these weird things. I've been through all that stuff. And, you know, it's man trying to help God. And just as Moody, for 6 months, he was pleading and praying, you know, and then God finally did a work. You see, that's true here. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he tells who it's for. Who is this for? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, when all those are, you know, aware of what's going on, he says, all who are far off, as many as God shall call to himself. Well, we're pretty far off from Jerusalem, aren't we? And he's called us to himself. So we're candidates for that. We had a lady come to our Bible study years ago, and the church that she was going to was pretty critical of us. We were pretty young and I wouldn't say wild, but just so enthusiastic about the Lord. And she came to this home study in our house, and when we saw her come in, it had about 50 people packed in there, and she was there. I thought she was going to yell out some rebuke or something, but she stayed for the entire Bible study and prayer time and all this. And afterwards, she said to me, Bill, you don't know how scared I am right now, but I need to have what you guys have. And I knew what she was talking about because she was a Christian, baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we took her in a private place, and about three of us or so, we laid hands on her and we prayed. We prayed and we had her pray. You know, afterwards, you know, nothing spectacular happened, but after she prayed and we prayed, and she opened her eyes and she said, I feel different. And we just smiled and said, well, the Holy Spirit did something. She went home. She never came to one of our Bible studies after that because she was going to this church. Her husband was pretty nominal. He was a farmer. And we heard from another friend who was her good friend that was coming to our Bible study, said that her husband had said to her, Rachel, you look like you're walking on air. And she said, I'm not walking, I'm flying. She was flying. She never came down from that baptism of the Holy Spirit. She was just for years and years. Now, that was a long time ago, but that was a testimony of God and the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon a person. You see, D.L. Moody and his Bible Institute, these were pretty conservative Christian people, believed in the Bible, just didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But D.L. Moody said of them and to them, oh, why will they split hairs? Why don't they see that this is just the one thing that they themselves need? They are good teachers. They are wonderful teachers. And I am so glad to have them here. But why will they not see that the baptism with the Holy Ghost is just the one touch that they themselves need? You see, Jesus, he speaks of these things in a way that even when he entered his ministry, he didn't enter his ministry until the Holy Spirit came upon him. When he was baptized, the Holy Spirit as a dove came upon him. Then he entered his ministry and said, repent. You see, Orthodox Christianity, they have a threefold test for what would be a valid practice in the church. What's valid? Oh, there are some things, folks, we've seen it. This phony laughing revival of the Holy Ghost bartender. How phony is that? this barking animal noises. How phony is that? This slaying in the spirit, this flailing around on the ground and making all these noises. It's so phony. It's the flesh. Don't get caught up in that. Be mature. Don't be a child in the faith. Be mature. You see, the threefold test to validate doctrine and practice within the church, number one, did Jesus teach it? Number two, was it practiced in the book of Acts? And number three, is it mentioned in the epistles? For example, water baptism. You get all three of those, yes. Lord's Supper, get all three of that, yes. Foot washing, oops. Yeah, Jesus washed feet, but you don't find it in the book of Acts. You don't find them practicing that in the book of Acts. And then there's an obscure mention in Timothy, but it's just speaking about a woman serving. So you don't do foot washing. That's not part of it. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes. It qualifies with that threefold test. You find that Jesus taught it, Matthew, or in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Practice in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4. Mentioned in the epistles. In fact, three chapters given to it. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. So you find, yes, that's a doctrine we practice for today. Now, the purpose is to empower us for service and for witness for Christ. The term is dunamis. You will be empowered. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power to be my witnesses. Power. Dynamite is really the term, or might, or strength, or force. It's true power, as opposed to just mere philosophy or words or appearance. I thought it's kind of interesting where we got this word, dynamite, because that's what dunamis literally is. It's dynamite. I think on your screen, you see just that. You see the A part of the diatomaceous earth or any other absorbent material soaked in nitroglycerin, and B part is protective coating surrounding the explosive material, C blasting cap, and D electrical cable or fuse connected to the blasting cap. Just put that up there to give you an idea of how this whole dunamis or dynamite came about. And the Greek word dynamite or dunamis, it entered the English language when the Swedish chemist and engineer Alfred Bernard Nobel, we get the Nobel Prize after him, because he was so devastated by him feeling like that's the only thing that they attributed to him, dynamite, that's hurt so many people, that he created the Nobel Peace Prize. But anyway, it goes on. He made the discovery that became his fortune. He discovered a power stronger than anything the world had known up to that time. He asked a friend of his, who was a Greek scholar, what the word for explosive power was in Greek. The friend answered, dunamis. Nobel said, well, I am going to call my discovery by that name. So he called the explosive power dynamite. You see, and that's what we have here in the Greek when we talk about God's dynamite power in our life. It's, you know, a positive thing. That's the idea. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he says, well, you and I, we read that in our New Testament, we look at the New Testament church, we see this amazing life that was in it, this power, this joy, this abandon, this thrill. And we ask ourselves, are we like that? When we read the history of the church and we see that it is not one, a dead level of life nor of achievement, but a graph that goes up and down. We see that there have been periods in the church like this present era when the church has been weak and lethargic and ineffective. And then we read of those other periods, Reformation and revival, when the church again seems to go back into Acts and life and power come and people are transformed as it were, into another realm and are amazed at themselves and wonder whether they had ever been Christians at all until this happened to them. Boy, can I relate to that in the Jesus movement. But you see, the Bible tells us, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, our gospel came not unto us in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching was not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. 2 Corinthians 10:5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then Micah 3:8, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might. You see, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I pray today that there just be a new beginning for you and for me. And as the Holy Spirit would do a work, it might not be something that you're going to even go out of here and go, wow, I'm different. Or maybe you will go out of here and say, wow, I'm different. Like Rachel did when we prayed for her. But you see, the Lord hears those prayers. And I like what Pastor Chuck Smith says about this in his book on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says, there are often obstacles to receiving this special anointing or power of the Holy Spirit in your life, which must be overcome. First is a general sense of unworthiness. Satan, fulfilling his role as the accuser of the brethren, will try to exaggerate our failures and mistakes. And he intimates that we are not worthy to receive anything from God. In one sense, this is true. However, God does not give us his gifts as a reward for good behavior, but to enable us to live a life pleasing to him. The power of the Holy Spirit is the very power that I need to help me live a victorious life in Christ. Also, inasmuch as it is a gift from God, he gives it on the basis of his grace and not my merit. How do you receive it? Well, it's not hard. It's pretty simple. And let me explain it. Briefly, the Bible here, remember when Jesus or when Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he said, repent, when they were cut to the heart and they wanted to know what all this outpouring of the Holy Spirit and receiving Christ and this church that just began. Repent, Peter says, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. First thing, repent. In other words, change your mind and change your direction. If you've been walking away from Jesus, make a U-turn and walk toward him. That's what repentance is. In other words, receive him. And the second thing is reject sin. You're rejecting the old life of sin. That's how you were walking toward the sinful life. You're rejecting that. You know, I unstopped a sink in a tub. And I'll tell you all the crud that was in there from years, because the water wouldn't drain. And just all this hair and all this muck and stuff. You see, and it's in our life. You see, we're turning from that, and God's going to clean that up. God's going to clean that out. But we're rejecting sin. And the third thing, well, he says here, be baptized in water. That's in water. But you see, what the indication is, it's a public confession. It's an open affirmation that I'm following Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the baptizer. He baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Now, remember when Cornelius and his household believed, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, even when they were saved. And then afterwards, they were baptized. And so the idea here of being baptized, it's the intent. I want to be obedient. Now, you could be baptized in the Holy Spirit now and you haven't yet been baptized in water. That's fine. We'll have a time for you to be baptized in water. Carrie will do it right after service. He's so eager to do it. But you see, it's following the Lord, being willing to openly confess. And the third thing is obedience. You need to walk in obedience. If Acts chapter 5, verse 8 says, the Holy Spirit is given to them that obey. Remember King Saul? He grieved the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit left him, departed from him. The idea of obeying is total surrender. Remember in the Old Testament, only after the whole burnt offering was laid on the altar did the fire come down from heaven and consume it. The Bible says us, present yourself a living sacrifice. It's that whole person, that whole obedience to the Lord. And then there's got to be the desire. You've got to desire it. And it's a strong, extreme, passionate longing. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And it's asking with an intense desire. Remember the parable of the persistent widow? She wouldn't give up. She kept after that unjust judge. Well, God's not an unjust God. He's a just God. But it's that desire, that intense desire. It's kind of like Psalm 42. As the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, O Lord. Or Isaiah 44:3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. Are you thirsty for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit? And then the idea of asking. We need to ask. You see, it's a definite and specific asking. That's why I had that lady. You ask. And that's why I have people that come to pray. I say, you ask. We need to ask. Jesus said in Luke 11, 13, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's not demanding. I demand the Holy Spirit come. It's not demanding, or it's not claiming. It's not penance, but it's petition. Jesus said, I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be open. That's in Luke 11, 9 and 10. And then finally, the last thing is you must have faith. You must have faith in what we said. If you doubt, that doubt is the barrier. Mark 11, 24 says, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. Believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 1, titled Pentecost. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with him today.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 24. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.